Time now to visit with Joe Fisher, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not bad.
Good.
Good. Well, I guess the most interesting topic right now is kind of a little footnote in a lot of newspapers and publications, but it's a pretty big deal that the NCAA Baseball Rules Committee is proposing a ban on the composite bat.
Yes.
And as you guys well know, Tim Corbin was one of the leading voices in that charge. I go back to the email that he sent to members of the committee, to the Baseball Coaches Association, and to the NCAA back in May, you know, talking about this, and the evidence was, in his eyes, overwhelming that there were a lot of bats out there being tampered with, making them dangerous. And as a result of all of that now and some of the investigations by the NCAA that went on through the tournaments and all that, they have decided that they agree, the Rules Committee agrees, and they're proposing a ban, and I believe that that's going to happen.
How do the umpires go about in enforcing that, say, at the start of a series? Do they inspect all the bats and make sure they, you know, meet approval? Or how do they go about enforcing that sort
of thing?
They
had said that that's what they were going to do, that any bat that was going to be used in the tournament, you were going to have to basically turn in your bats for inspection. Now, to be honest, short of putting that bat on a machine that measures the springboard effect off of the barrel and those kind of things, I don't know how totally accurate they could be. And one of the big issues of this rolling a bat, as you were, is what it's called, to make a composite bat more lively, is that it was almost impossible to just look at it and tell that anything had been done to it to change the inside makeup of the composite bat. So it was a challenge in that regard. But this got really interesting because before the tournaments began, basically a bat manufacturer came out, you know, with a memo to anybody using the bat and said, if you use a composite bat and you are hit with some kind of liability suit because, you know, one of your batted balls hits somebody, injures them, that bat's found to be illegal for whatever reason, we're out of it. It's totally, you know, we're telling you not to use the bats. And that really put a lot of pressure on a lot of the teams to put them in a corner, basically. And as a result, a lot of the teams that were using them through the tournament or planned to use them in tournaments did not because of that. So now I think it's pretty much a formality that these bats are going to be banned for 2010.
All right. Do you think that could apply to fans who could potentially be injured also?
Oh, I think it would be an interesting idea, sure. Yeah, a line drive fired into the stands that gets somebody. And I know they have devices to measure. For example, in Tim Corbin's email that he wrote in May, they had been able to measure the velocity of balls coming off of a bat. And they're supposed to be, you know, in the 80 to 90 mile an hour range, and balls are coming off the bat at 115, 117 miles an hour, which is far above what's anticipated or supposed to happen. So I'm sure that if that technology was available, who knows who could use it. So I think it's good news for everybody. A lot of people will quite frankly say it levels the playing field again because coaches, and Tim was one of them, that refused to use the bats were in essence putting some of their hitters at a disadvantage, that other hitters, you know, had a bigger advantage with a livelier bat.
Joe, it's been, and I know you can't mention names specifically, so I will, as far as football commitments, the Commodores got one from James Kittredge, a talented defensive end, and then this kid, Gerald Priester, out of South Carolina, an athlete. I know they've got to be excited about. It was an article in the Tennessean last week. Just how excited Bobby Johnson's staff is over the 2010 recruiting class and just how far ahead of things they are in a way that they probably haven't in recent years.
Well, there's no question about that, Mark. Last year, I think at this time, they had four commitments. So it's certainly much different. The recruiting mindset now changes a little bit, though, in that it's not like you finished recruiting those guys. You know, now you're still going to have to continue.
Yes, commitments, not signees. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Until they sign on February on the dotted line, they are just verbal commitments. So you have to continue to recruit them. But, yes, I think they're very excited, and not only of the number of guys, but really the quality. You look at these are – a lot of these guys are highly sought after by a lot of big programs, and they're getting players to commit from areas where maybe they haven't had a lot of success in the past. So, yeah, I think it's definitely exciting. But Bobby will be the first to tell you, we're not going to rest easy until that signing date comes and goes.
Well, Joe, our time has come and gone, and we appreciate you as always, and speak with you again on Monday morning.
Okay, guys, have a good weekend.